Hello, I'm Adrian Miller, Senior Director of Investments and Fiduciary Services for Wells Fargo Private Bank. Joining me is Cameron Hines, Regional Chief Investment Officer for the Great Lakes Region. Cam, the debate over whether passive investment strategies are better than active investment strategies continues to rage, partly due to the perceived underperformance of active strategies in recent years. In this podcast, you are going to share a slightly more nuanced view that the answer isn't as simple as it may first seem. For the sake of our audience, what is the difference between the two?
Well, Adrian, I would summarize the two as follows. Active investing aims to profit from the skills of an investment manager who strives to earn a greater return than a particular market index. It involves substantial research and potentially a fair amount of trading. These activities raise the cost of investing, meaning the manager has to beat the market by a margin sufficient to cover the higher costs associated with this type of approach. Passive or index-based investing seeks to earn the average return of an index or market segment. A passively managed fund's goal might be, for example, to track the S&P 500 index's performance. Classic indexing means constructing a portfolio with the same market capitalization mix as exists in the marketplace.
So, Cam, the common perception is that active investors have struggled to outperform the markets over the course of the 8-year bull market.
You're right, Adrian. However, we don't believe investors should dismiss active strategies. In general, other than fees, the primary reasons for their underperformance has actually been cash holdings and their exposure to holdings outside of a particular index, such as international positions. Looking forward, cash holdings may become less of a drag on performance if interest rates move higher. And given the more positive outlook for many international markets, we anticipate international exposure may help performance going forward.
So in essence, what you're saying, Cam, is that you don't expect the next 5 to 7 years to be the exact same as the last 5 to 7.
Exactly, Adrian. It would not be surprising to see the emergence of an economic recession, market corrections, and increased volatility over the next few years. This clearly would not be the same investment environment we've experienced since 2009. If such changes in the economic landscape occur, they may favor active investors.
And I think it's fair to say that not all passive strategies deliver to investor expectations.
Now, that's right, Adrian. It's important for our listeners to understand that even passive strategies have to be carefully selected if they're going to fulfill the role that you want them to play in a portfolio. For example, low volatility ETFs that have been one of the more popular smart beta strategies used by investors over the past few years. The idea is to take less risk or volatility in an individual stock portfolio that actually outperform the indexes, in this case, the S&P 500 index. In a comparison of low volatility ETFs of money-weighted performance versus buy-and-hold performance by Empirical Research Partners analysis, suggests that the buy-and-hold performance has been quite good for this ETF strategy. However, the dollar-weighted performance, which accounts for the timing of when funds actually flow into an ETF, indicates the average investor's performance per year has been about 1.75% less than the ETF itself. This is very strong evidence of investors buying the strategy after it has gone up and selling during points of weakness. To avoid these emotional investment mistakes, it may be beneficial to work with an investment professional to help with positioning of passive strategies.
If so, Cam, what are investors to make of this information? Do you believe that they should be focusing on active strategies moving forward?
Not at all, Adrian. My point is that when you compare the two strategies, the potential outcomes are seldom as simple as they may appear to be, particularly when investors decide to use passive strategies. In addition, investors shouldn't rely on market conditions staying the same over time. So what we do advocate is that investors consider a mixture of both active and passive strategies for their portfolio. We also recommend that they work with their investment professional to help understand the characteristics of each strategy and to determine the right mix for their individual circumstances.
Cam, I want to thank you for joining me today to discuss the importance of passive and active investment strategies, and a special thank you to our audience for joining us.
Deposit and loan products are offered by Wells Fargo Bank N.A., member FDIC. The information and opinions in this podcast were prepared by Wells Fargo Wealth Management. Information and opinions have been obtained or derived from sources we consider reliable, but we cannot guarantee their accuracy or completeness. Opinions represent Wells Fargo Wealth Management's opinion as of the date of this podcast and are for general information purposes only. Wells Fargo Wealth Management does not undertake to advise you of any change in its opinions or the information contained in this podcast. Wells Fargo and company affiliates may issue reports or have opinions that are inconsistent with and reach different conclusions from this podcast. This information is provided for educational and illustrative purposes only. Wells Fargo Private Bank and Wells Fargo Wealth Management provide products and services through Wells Fargo Bank N.A. and its various affiliates and subsidiaries. Wells Fargo Bank N.A. is a bank affiliate of Wells Fargo and company. Wells Fargo Bank N.A., the bank, offers various advisory and fiduciary products and services. Financial advisors of Wells Fargo Advisors may refer clients to the bank for an ongoing or one-time fee. The role of the financial advisor with respect to bank products and services is limited to referral and relationship management services. The bank is responsible for the day-to-day management of non-brokerage accounts and for providing investment advice, investment management services, and wealth management services to clients. The financial advisor does not provide investment advice or brokerage services to bank accounts, but does offer, as applicable, brokerage services and investment advice to brokerage accounts held at Wells Fargo Advisors. The views, opinions, and portfolios may differ from our broker-dealer affiliates. Brokerage products and services are offered through Wells Fargo Advisors. Wells Fargo Advisors is a trade name used by Wells Fargo Clearing Services, LLC, and Wells Fargo Advisors Financial Network, LLC, members SIPC, separate registered broker-dealers and non-bank affiliates of Wells Fargo & Company. Exchange-traded funds seek investment results that, before expenses, generally correspond to the price and yield of a particular index. There is no assurance that the price and yield performance of the index can be fully matched. Exchange-traded funds are subject to risks similar to those of stocks. Investment returns may fluctuate and are subject to market volatility, so that an investor's shares, when redeemed or sold, may be worth more or less than the original cost. Wells Fargo affiliates may be paid a referral fee in relation to clients referred to Wells Fargo Bank N.A. Investment and insurance products are not insured by the FDIC or any other federal government agency, not a deposit of or guaranteed by a bank or any bank affiliate, may lose value. Copyright 2018 Wells Fargo Bank N.A., all rights reserved.